Well, good morning. Welcome to Trinity on the fifth Sunday of Easter. Hard to believe that we're already five Sundays into the greatest day the world has ever known. But here we are, these wonderful fifth Sunday passages, and I'm extremely drawn to Psalm 31, specifically that statement that David writes, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." It's one of the most honest prayers, I think, written by David, and it comes from a place of being at the end of his rope, and it gives us something far more honest than a religious pep talk. It gives us a prayer for people who are not winning, and that's where the gospel crossroads hit our everyday life. The gospel is not for the strong, but for the exhausted, not for those who have it together, but for those who are barely holding it together. And so listen again to how Psalm begins. "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame." That's not a voice of someone confident in themselves. That is the voice of someone who is running out of better options. Refuge is not a place you go when life is working out. It's where you go when everything else has failed. And if we're honest, most of us live our lives in that spot. We live our spent trying to avoid needing a refuge. We spend our lives avoiding it at all cost because we want to be self-sufficient. We'd rather manage, control, improve, optimize. We want to be the kind of people who don't need saving. Refuge flies in the face of the proud. But the psalm cuts through that illusion. It assumes something we spend a lot of energy denying, that we are vulnerable. We deny our limitations and often overwhelmed with life circumstances. My buddy David likes to say that grace is for losers, not losers in the pejorative sense, but in the deep human sense, people who lose control, people who lose face or lose hope, lose the version of themselves they thought they'd be or become. And that's where this psalm lives. "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge, not in my competence, not in my reputation, not in my plans for getting things back on track, but simply in you." But then the psalmist gets even more personal, almost uncomfortable, if you will. David says, "Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. For you are my krog and my stronghold. For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me." Notice what the psalmist is asking for. Not a quick fix, not an explanation, but very presence and protection, a rock, a fortress, something outside of him that does not shift when everything inside of him is shifting. Because the truth is this, we are not very good at being our own stronghold. We crack under pressure. We bend under expectations. We get tired. And yet so much of modern life is built on that assumption that we should be enough in ourselves. Self-sufficiency, we should be self-made, self-secure. But the gospel and the Psalms tells a different story. They tell us that real strength is found outside of us, that salvation is not something we achieve, but something we receive. "For you are my rock." Not I am my rock, but you. And then comes that line, one of the most important in all scriptures, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." If that sounds familiar, it should. These are the exact words that Jesus prays from the cross. At the very moment when everything looks like failure, when his friends have abandoned him, his body is broken and beaten and bloody, he has been stripped of all his dignity, and his mission appears to have collapsed. He is at the end of his rope, and nothing left to give. Jesus reaches for this psalm. What a beautiful reminder that when life hands you a bucket of crap, let's just call it what it is, reach out for the psalms. They're wonderful medicine for our souls. Jesus reaches for this psalm, not a victory speech, not a strategy, a full surrender. Into your hands I give up. Into your hands I give up, which tells us something crucial. Faith is not ultimately about holding it all together. It's about being held. Christianity is not about climbing up to God, but about God coming down to us, meeting us precisely in our brokenness and weakness. And here in this psalm, we see what that looks like from the inside. It looks like, well, letting go. It looks like letting it go. It looks like entrusting yourself, your fears, your failures, even your future, letting it go to God, who is more merciful than you ever could imagine. Give it to a God who is more merciful than you are strong. And we see this beautiful thing happening as David surrenders to the mercy of God as he continues to write verse 15. My times are in your hands. Show me your servant the light of your countenance and save me for your mercy's sake. My times, well, they're in your hands, he says. That is either incredibly comforting or deeply offensive. Depending on how much you like being in control, because most of us live as if our times are in our own hands, our schedules, our plans, our timelines for how life is supposed to go. And when those things get disrupted, when life doesn't unfold the way we imagined, it can feel not just inconvenient, but unbearable. But the psalmist says, my times, well, they're in your hands. Not just the good times, not just the parts that make sense, all of it. The waiting, the disappointment, the uncertainty. A mentor of mine once said, we are addicted to control, but grace begins where control ends. Because as long as we believe we can manage our lives into meaning, we won't see our need for mercy. But when life exposes the limits of our control, and it always does, we are left with one choice: despair, our dependence. The psalmist points us towards dependence. My times are in your hands. Whether we want to admit it or not, that is the fact, and it is true, and nothing is changing it. If we're honest, it actually is freeing. It allows us to say, let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Not save me because I've earned it. Not save me because I figured it all out. Simply save me in your steadfast love. In other words, save me because of who you are, not because of who I am. And that is the heart of the gospel. God's love is not a response to our performance. It is a revelation of his character. And that is incredibly freeing, because it means your standing with God does not rise or fall with your latest success or failure. It rests on something far more stable, his steadfast love, because the only thing we contribute to our salvation is the need for it. And the psalm gives us language for that need. It doesn't clean it up. It doesn't spiritualize it. It just brings us honestly before God. So what do we do with this? Maybe the simplest answer is we pray it. Not as people who have everything sorted out, but as people who need refuge. Maybe you come this morning feeling like things are slipping through your fingers. Maybe you're tired of trying to be strong. Maybe you're carrying something that no amount of effort has been able to fix. If that's you, then this psalm is for you. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Into your hands I commend my spirit. My times are in your hand. This is not the language of the impressive. It is the language of the dependent. And the good news, the scandalous, freeing, deeply comforting good news, is that God meets us there. Not when we're proven ourselves, not when we've cleaned ourselves up, but right there, in the need, in the surrender, in the honesty. Because in the end, the gospel is not about how tightly you can hold on to God. It's about how tightly he is holding on to you. And then finally, is a refuge that does not fail. You know, in our 10:30 service this morning, we had the privilege once again to see this statement played out in the context of a baptism. God's one-way love for his people being gifted to these babies before they can even attempt to hold on to God. God is holding on to them. He's placing them in the palm of his hand where their time is literally in his hands and where I will mark them as Christ's own forever, which in essence is God making his face to shine upon them with his loving kindness. Have you ever experienced that kind of love? Have you ever experienced baptism? Perhaps you're watching this morning and you've never experienced the free gift of God's one-way love through the gift of baptism. You've never experienced that peace where God says, "You are mine, and I've been holding on to you all this time. And I'm going to seal you through the waters of baptism. And I'm going to have one of my priests mark you with holy oil and the sign of the cross, stating boldly that you are mine forever." If that's you, never been baptized, I invite you, reach out to my office this week. I'd love to have that conversation with you, to tell you more about what holy baptism's all about, to invite you into a family where our slogan around here is never changing and it's always the same. Trinity, there's a place for you, because every one of us lives in the tension of the hands of God. We live in that place of utter dependence, needing him to shine his face upon us and to be delighted in us. And you know the great news is that his answer is always yes. "I'm always delighted in my beloved," Jesus says. And that's why we get to come to the altar, the table of grace, where every week Jesus reminds us that all of our sins, past, present, future, were put on him, and he died, paid the full price, and he invites us to be a part of the family. He invites us to the dinner party. He invites us to come and receive. So I hope right now you'll receive that good news message, knowing that you are safe in the hands of God, and no matter what you're going through today, or what you've been going through, or what you're about to go through, Jesus has you. He will not let you go. And that finally is a refuge that does not fail. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.